I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
Hey,
freedom,
Matt Rothschild, sitting in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show with my co-host, Angela Lang of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, it's great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Every time. Happy to do it.
I always look forward to co-hosting with you. It's always fun.
Yeah.
And I know you've been doing a little more radio on Civic Media. I heard you earlier this week on Gene Mattinair's show with Greg. You were great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Happy to be here. It's always a good conversation, no matter who I'm with, honestly.
You're getting to be an old pro. listen, I want to tell the listeners what we got going on. We got Peter Barca, a former minority leader in the state assembly, who I knew back in the day during the Act 10 stuff. He was a leader of the Democrats and a fighter against Act 10. He's now running for Congress against Brian Stile in the first congressional district. So looking forward to speaking to him shortly after 2:30. And then Maggie herself is going to be interviewing Caitlin Henderson with Oxfam on a new report that this researcher from Oxfam just did on best and worst states to work in. And here's a spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin came in 38th. Right ahead of Arkansas.
Lots to unpack there.
not something to brag about.
Not something to be proud of yet again.
And it may be that we will cut in when President Biden speaks this afternoon in Westby about funds that he's supplying for rural electrification and some serious money to help rural Wisconsin and other parts of this country with rural electrification. So if and when that happens, we will cut in for that. But in the meantime, Angela, I wanted to ask you, because you were featured in an article in the Journal Sentinel earlier this week by the wonderful Molly Beck and Rachel Hale about voter suppression in Wisconsin, specifically going back to the voter ID law in the Walker years.
Yeah, I mean, I've been organizing since 2007. I've gotten my start. I consider myself, you know, a veteran of student organizing. And I remember one of the first big issues I started organizing around was student IDs for voter IDs. And this was back when now Judge John Richards was a state rep at the time. And I went to UWM. And it's so interesting that so many, many years later, we're still having the same type of conversations. And I appreciate this piece being able to talk about like how difficult it can be for voters, whether it's photo ID or the fact that, you know, the Black polling place on the north side of Milwaukee early vote site had to be the one to get moved, all of these different challenges. And, you know, I'm glad we're talking about it. I'll also, you know, talk about, too, is that there are times when there's felony disenfranchisement. And so for those that don't know, if you've gone through the criminal justice system, have, you know, are on probation or on supervision, you don't have your voting rights restored yet. But when you are off supervision, they're restored. And a lot of times people don't know that. And people are scared to vote because they make a big deal saying, if you vote, you know, you're a felon, you can no longer vote. And so people remove themselves from that process because they don't always know when their voting rights are restored until someone like, you know, one of our ambassadors at BLOC tells them that. So all these different ways in the intersections that all these other challenges and obstacles and systems of oppression, including the mass incarceration system, also being a part of voter suppression.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of mass incarceration and felon disenfranchisement is a really nasty 1-2 punch. And Wisconsin's fallen way behind. There are a whole bunch of other states that allow former prisoners to vote once they get out behind bars. In fact, Minnesota, under Governor Walz, just got that to happen over the last couple of years. And actually, in two states, you can vote from behind bars.
Yeah.
In Maine and in Vermont. That's the little quiz of the day. I gave the answer. But here in Wisconsin, you can't vote until you are not only outside of the prison gates, but you're off paper, as it's called.
Yeah.
And off paper can mean 2 years, 4 years, 8 years. I've talked to a former prisoner who was 15 years on paper.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just shocking that, you know, they've already paid the huge price of losing their freedom for several years, and then they can't vote for you know, more than a decade. That's wrong.
We had a woman, we have a program called the Silent Canvas, where elected officials or candidates shadow our team on doors when we ask them, you know, what does a thriving community look like? And I remember our deputy director, Keisha, she happened to be doing a silent canvas with former county executive Chris Abley. And they talked to a woman. And a lot of times people are saying, oh, I can't vote. I'm a felon. And people just say, sorry, have a nice day. And we always make sure to, you know, have a follow-up question. Don't mean to sound invasive. Do you mind me asking if you're off paper? And this woman said, oh, yeah, I'm off paper. I've been off paper for 15 years. Could have been voting that whole time. Didn't know until Keisha told her that her voting rights had been restored.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking. And by off paper, we mean, you know, extended supervision, parole's done.
Yep. You don't have to report to a, you know, parole officer and stuff like that anymore. Yep.
Yeah. And there is a big movement in Wisconsin to get Wisconsin. And if we have a decent legislature after these fair maps, we may get this done, to have the legislature pass a bill that allows former prisoners to vote once they get out from behind the prison doors.
The Unlock the Vote campaign with Wisdom. They've been working out that, yeah, for a very long time.
They've done a tremendous amount of work on this issue here in Wisconsin.
Very much so.
You mentioned that the so-called black site for voting in Milwaukee had moved. Where is it now, in case someone was listening to that and wondered?
Yeah, so if folks are familiar with that traditional site, it had been in the Midtown Shopping Center. And then there's a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, hiccups and whatnot with a new landlord. And so thank goodness, due to advocacy with groups like Souls to the Polls and whatnot in the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, we were able to make sure that the new location is just across the street. So it is still across, but it's on Capitol Drive. Thank goodness there's a lot of signage. You drive down Capitol, there's signs on the buildings, there's signs everywhere, so there's ample signage. And then I believe, you know, people just might have folks across the street in case people are looking for it on election day to kind of direct folks to, but it is now officially across the street. But you kind of can't miss it, thank goodness. The signage is really, really good over there.
Because I know there was some lack of clarity for a while there about where people were supposed to vote in that area.
Yeah, yeah. And so that changed earlier this year. And I'm glad that we're talking about it, because if you hadn't voted in our three other elections, say you're only kind of a presidential general election voter, and you haven't voted yet this year, you may not have gotten the memo. So there's still maybe, you know, groups of people that haven't voted this year that will be voting at that new site for the first time, potentially.
And you also mentioned student voting.
Yes.
And one of the problems with the voter ID law that when it passed, it wouldn't allow students to use their student ID as a valid ID for voting.
Yep. I mean, I remember one of the fights in the early days is that we were like, okay, if we need to find a way to use, you know, student IDs, because a lot of folks, they had their student IDs, but they were from out of town. Maybe they were from Minnesota. So the only state ID they have is from Minnesota. And in order to get a new ID, they would have to surrender that. A lot of college students weren't, but they were living on campus for a year or longer. And so we were like, can we make the student IDs compliant? Can we add a picture and an expiration date, trying to have that work around? But yeah, it continues to be an issue for folks. And I think it's just another way. It's kind of like death by a thousand cuts in terms of democracy.
We've got a call from Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, are you on the line there? What's on your mind?
I am, man. I just wanted to go back to your incarcerated people being able to vote. I think they should, because they're still citizens. And if they're legal citizens of this country, then they should have the right to vote. They're still humans. They are still part of our society. They should have the right to vote, even if they're incarcerated, because the bulk of the people that are incarcerated in our state, especially, are mostly nonviolent criminal people. So this, to me, is just really kind of a silly thing. It's just another way to take the vote away from people.
Agreed.
Yeah, Cindy, I agree with you, too. Cindy, from Appleton, thanks so much for the call. You know, the only case I could see for not allowing someone to vote is if their actual crime was illegal voting.
Voter fraud, or, you know, being a fake elector like Bob Spindell.
Ooh. I mean, that's the only thing that would really make logical sense, to deprive them of their voting rights for doing something that had nothing to do with messing around with an election doesn't make sense to me. And yes, exactly. They're still citizens. They should be allowed to vote, just like they're allowed to vote in Maine and Vermont.
Yep.
There's, you know, why should people in Maine and Vermont have more rights than people in Wisconsin? That doesn't make sense.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Crazy. And I'm glad. Thank you for bringing that up. I think those are important points that I think people don't always think about.
And a lot of the advocates are for that, too, from, you know, in Expo and Wisdom. The first step is to try to get people their right to vote after they get outside the prison gates.
Yeah.
But I think if you talk to a lot of the advocates, everyone that I've talked to anyway agrees with you, Cindy, that people from behind bars should still be able to vote if they're citizens of this country.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of issues that they're dealing with in there are political issues. Look at Wisconsin. Look at the prison problems we're having in Wisconsin. Why shouldn't the people most adversely affected by that be able to weigh in if there's someone running who wants to clean up our prison system here?
Yeah.
Or let people go who've served, good time and or are, very old. I mean, how many prisoners in Waupun are older than 90 is what I want to know. And why don't you let all those people off? They did a little bit of that during COVID.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like there was a crime spree afterwards. So there's just so many problems with our prison system. And depriving prisoners of the right to vote, to express themselves on this crucial issue of their own living conditions is outrageous. I interviewed someone who was representing the Waupun area, or I read about this person, I can't remember which, and this person was representing two-thirds of the people in Waupun, and those people couldn't vote. He was representing all the people in Waupun. They amounted to two-thirds of his constituents, and two-thirds of his constituents couldn't vote, and he'd never been in Waupun. He'd never visited the prison.
And don't get me started on prison gerrymandering, right? We could talk more about that maybe after the break. And I would also be remiss to not mention that the anniversary of the 94 crime bill is actually happening next week. We actually have a team of folks that'll be going to D.C. for a march, and I think we got to think about some of those policies and kind of how we got here today and snowball, too.
I do want to pick up this conversation of prison gerrymandering. It's a concept that I only got to know about when I was over there working at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We'll explore that right after this very short bump. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Maggie. And my co-host, Angela Lang from Block, is with us for the whole time today. So stay tuned.
One burning two flames.